Ladies and gentlemen, if you know the answers to these questions, you've got it. You're on the inside track. Is a young pitcher better off in the minors? Does playing outfield improve the hitting? Is track worth it? This is Fred Hessler. You'll hear the answers to these questions and more with the men who know, those who make the sports headlines. For this is the Inside Track. And now, tape recorded the Inside Track to Casey Stengel, Bob McMillan, Luke Easter, with yours truly, Fred Hessler. Top manager in baseball today is the veteran Casey Stengel of the Yankees. To Casey Stengel, we put a key question. Is a young pitcher better off in the minors where he's pitching regularly or on the bench with a major league team studying the hitters?
Well, that's very hard to answer. The best thing I could tell you is that if you have a lot of stuff, in other words, if you have a real fastball that breaks and you have a curveball that breaks, if you can throw for the center of that plate, I'll bet you that you can't hit the center of the plate. So you better throw at the center and try and hit a corner inside, out, high or low, and be over the plate than to work on a corner and walk three or four men. Then you sit on the bench and you don't get to pitch for four more days, so you've been 8 days with pitching maybe one or two innings. I'd throw for the center of the plate, and if they hit the ball, fine and dandy. But if you are young and have stuff, that's great. Now, if you don't have the stuff, you have to commence and use your head from over your shoulders. And if you use your head from over your shoulders, you've got to hit the right spots and throw a mixture. That means a slow curve ball, a slider, a ball that just sails to a certain extent. And if I was you then and I didn't have much stuff, don't throw it for the center of the plate, because they'll hit it so far that you won't find it coming back for a long time and you won't stay in there and get the pitch often.
Casey, as far as we have a lot of young ball players that were in service, many of whom may be hearing this broadcast, what do you think about a player in service playing service baseball? Are there any ideas that you're giving to any of your boys that you may correspond with as far as keeping in condition?
Well, that's a great thing. If they can keep in condition and get out some afternoons to keep their legs in shape and to use their arm. An arm shouldn't lay idle 1 or 2 years, or it has an effect on the arm. They have to gradually work them every day with so many exercises. And the same thing applies to a man's limb. If he gets out every day and he gets to do sprinting and he gets to play with baseball shoes on at different times, I know that it will not handicap his limbs as long as he's in the service.
The layoff, of course, how about from the batting standpoint? There isn't much a fella can do because he isn't going to meet that kind of pitching that he needs.
Well, you never know. In the service, they turn out some great ball players, and great ball players go into service, like, for instance, our little Whitey Ford. I don't know where the Yankees would have been last fall if you wanted to pick one man that came in, and when we needed our best help in September, I'd have to say that Whitey Ford was the man. He's a very short young man, and when he walks out on that mound, you'd forget he was in Yankee Stadium and had 80,000 people sitting around him. He forgot who the people were. He just pitched for home plate, and he could execute the plays. If you wanted a ball pitched high, he could execute and pitch high. If you wanted a ball pitched high inside, he'd execute and throw the ball high inside. If you wanted a curve ball and wanted to pitch low, he'd pitch it low. And when he saw the uniforms and the names of the other players, he forgot their names and just thought there was just an ordinary boy out there in high school playing against him, and that's why he was so good as a pitcher. He was very cool on the rubber, outstanding young man, and was very great for the ball club, and we were very proud of him. In fact, all the ball players were proud of him, too, with the wonderful work he did for us last year.
One of the many fine young distance runners America has in the making is young Bob McMillan of Occidental College in Los Angeles, California. Bob is the versatile young man who made the Olympic squad in 1948 in an event he had seldom tried, the steeplechase. After a rigorous track afternoon, McMillan was still keyed up and breathing heavily, but he talked freely of track and the after effects of a busy track afternoon.
Well, you have your whole system is shocked after running, and it takes you, well, at least an hour and a half to completely recover. You're still sort of nervous, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a good moment to catch you in, though. It's right after an event, and I think I'd like to get you to repeat what you were saying to me just a few moments ago about what you do next and how you get set for next week, because I think that's kind of interesting. Yeah. Tomorrow, nothing.
Tomorrow, you don't work out at all. Monday, you start building back for the following Saturday. You work comparatively easy Monday, and then you probably run, or at least should run, one time trial Tuesday, and what we call fardlek. It's a following system following the Swedish distance running. Wednesday, that's a quarter in and a quarter out. That's a hard quarter in 60 seconds, and then running an easy quarter, and probably running some half miles and a lot of sprinting. That's on Wednesday. Thursday, you have a similar workout as Monday, just loosening up and running easy. Friday, nothing. Then Saturday, you give what you have, all you got. Of course, that's the day of the meet.
I think there's one interesting point we might bring in as far as our listeners are concerned, and that is the 1948 Olympic Games and your work in the steeplechase, because there again you attempted something that you hadn't attempted before that year. Just what happened to you in 1948 in the first place? You were tried out for the 1500 meters, didn't you?
Well, I was going to try out for the 1500 meters, but I was too slow, so I went up to the 2 mile and had a little better results. So I, since I wasn't strong enough for the 5,000 meters and not fast enough for the 1,500 meters, I thought my best chance would be in the 3,000 meters, which is just a little under 2 miles, in the steeplechase. The steeplechase doesn't have as good as competition as other two races, so I had a little more luck to place in it.
Now, what I was getting across is the fact that you... Go ahead, take the drink while I'm talking here. And this is orange juice, of course. California, you know. And what I'm getting at is, when you ran it in the Olympic Games, was it the third time you'd ever attempted the steeplechase proper in competition?
It was the fourth time.
Fourth time. Well, I was only one off. When was the first time you tried it, actually, in competition?
Well, the first time was at Alhambra Games here in Los Angeles. And the Los Angeles Athletic Club sponsored me to go back then for the AAU finals. That was the second time. I got second to Forrest Efall. And the third time was an Olympic tryouts at Evanston, which I won. I won that one. And so that qualified me for the Olympics, but I didn't do so good in that.
Yes, but it's quite a thing, and it's an entirely different type of running. What are the different obstacles that they throw at your way in the steeplechase?
You have four hurdles to clear each lap of a 7.5 lap course, and one water jump with 12 feet of water on the other side of the hurdle each lap. So therefore, you go over seven water jumps and 32 hurdles.
And I also recall, I think, that you landed in the water on one occasion. Was that in the Olympic Games proper?
Well, yes, I landed in the water in the Olympic Games. I was up with him, but then there again, it was certainly my fault because I should have practiced it more. I didn't practice clearing that jump enough. I mean, that was my trouble, and so I lost out. But next time, if I ever run that event again, I'll certainly take more time on it.
As far as 1952 is concerned, though, I think you'd rather be pointing for one of the regular races, wouldn't you?
1,500 meters.
Yeah.
And possibly the 5,000, but 1,500 meters, preferably.
Most fabulous among today's power hitters is the giant Cleveland Indians star Luke Easter. Luke came up in short order, busting fences left and right to blast his way to stardom. There are those who think it may be Luke who breaks the Babe Ruth home run record. Certainly the power is there. At the ballpark, we asked Luke whether the position he played affected his hitting. He said,
"Well, I would say playing outfield, which I'm not a good outfielder as an outfielder should be, but playing a position that you don't play quite as good as you do the other position, then you have two things to concentrate on. One thing, by playing outfield, I don't judge a ball off the bat good enough, and that way I lose four or five steps on the ball. Then I had to concentrate on that. But playing first base, well, I know I can play first base, and I don't have to worry about anything, just my hitting. That's the only thing I have my mind set on it.
I think when you first came up to Cleveland at the after that operation and all, you were trying a little bit too hard, weren't you?
Well, I was trying to hit one out of the ballpark.
And everybody heard all about those home runs you hit there in the Coast League, and they all expect you to hit one every time, don't they?
That's right.
They still do, don't they,
That's
Luke?
Right. They still think you should hit a home run every time you come to the ballpark.
How about your own feelings on that? Do they make you bunt once in a while, too?
No, I never bunt. Never bunt.
Can you bunt?
Sure, I can bunt, but they said don't bunt. They always swing away.
Why waste all that power, huh?
Well, yeah.
That home run is still the best play in baseball, I guess, isn't it?
Well, I really hit about 35, 40 home runs, and they hit 400 with hitting singles, because singles don't help a ball club any. You need a long ball hitter on every ball club.
Now, how about playing in Cleveland's Municipal Stadium? Do you have any particular break as far as home runs are concerned there?
Well, no, I don't, but they got it's a big ballpark, in fact. But I hit about 17 home runs there last year.
Mm-hmm. How many did you hit all told, Luke?
28.
How about the other parks in the league? Is there any park that you especially like?
Well, you take a ballpark like Detroit, I like that. Because I can hit all parts of the field up there, and they got pretty good wind. But other ballparks, the wind is difficult. St. Louis, they got a short fence, but they don't pitch inside to me. They pitch outside to me. Keeps me hitting left field all the time. Left field and center field.
How about the pitchers? Make any difference to you one way or the other?
Well, in calling how the ballpark is fixed, that's the way they pitch it.
Mm-hmm. You don't have anybody who's been a particular nemesis of yours that you find it tough to get base hits off?
Well, this guy, Lopez, he was a little difficult at the time because he had a head motion. And it was quite a while before I could catch on to that head motion, and the ball wasn't coming. He was motion with his head, and then the ball come later, and that kept me off, but as the season went by, I began to notice how he pitched and concentrate on it, and that way it got a little easier for me. And I started hitting him right about the season.
How many home runs you gunning for this season, Luke?
Well, I wouldn't want to say anything like that because a lot of people say you're bragging when you say you're going to do things like that. I just want to be a natural ball player.
Yes. Well, you certainly are a great natural hitter. Has anybody ever taken you aside and given you any special work with your hitting, or do they just let you get up there and do it all by yourself?
No, one while last year, I was hitting the ball good, and they wanted me to hit all pitches to right field, but I couldn't hit like that. I'm not just a right field hitter. At the left field, center field is best, and the right field is inside.
Mm-hmm. And has Al Simmons or any of these boys, they ever work with you as far as you
hear? Yeah, Simmons worked with me a lot. He said, hit the best way you can hit. He said, any fence that count, a run. Mm-hmm. He said, no second fence. Make any difference. Just hit the ball, let it go over any fence you want to go over.
Luke, you still driving that big Buick, or what are you driving these days?
No, I got a Cadillac now.
Huh? Cadillac?
I got a Cadillac.
You moved up in the class. They used to kid about it. They said when you were at San Diego, Bucky Harris had a three-porthole Buick, and you had one with four.
Well, Bucky Harris could have got a four-hole Buick. He got the money. He just didn't want one.
And that's the inside track to Casey Stengel, Bob McMillan, and Luke Easter, with yours truly, Fred Hessler. Don Ferris was at the organ. Listen again for the leading sports questions of the day with the men who know, those who make the sports headlines. For this is the Inside Track. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.